This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Nothing is hotter in hot leads than breaking news, and we have breaking news a minute ago. So yesterday I had put out a tweet and included in my crawfish boil news and rumors around baseball that the Houston Astros could be a stalking horse in the bidding for Japanese starting pitcher Tatsuya Imai, as his deadline to sign is tomorrow. And coming off of Munetaka Murakami's very short deal that he signed with the Chicago White Sox, if Imai is also willing to take a short deal, the Astros could be a stalking horse. 1 minute ago, from Jeff Passan, star Japanese right-hander Tatsuya Imai and the Houston Astros are in agreement on a free agent contract. The Astros get a legit starting pitcher who is capable of making up for the loss of Framber Valdez. In an offseason where the Astros have basically played around in the bargain bin and worked the margins and trades, B. Scott, they make a significant move here that may not necessarily involve significant dollars.
Yeah, and it does, I would say just on the front end, it does signal to me what I would call the unofficial but pretty much official end of the Framber Valdez era. I think there was some people were holding out a little bit of hope because there seemed to be a mention of conversation from Dana Brown at the winter meetings between the Astros and Framber Valdez's camp. This signing, to me, would outright eliminate that, but it is noteworthy because that's one of their priorities this offseason, is figuring out the starting pitching, especially with the assumption that Framber Valdez is no longer going to be there. Now, it is worth noting, of course, that Tatsuya is not going to get the same, anywhere close to what, let's say, a Yamamoto got. He's older and, from what I understand, not nearly as good. But to your point, definitely starting caliber, probably a, what would you say, middle to back end of the rotation kind of guy.
I'd say he probably, on his existing data, would project as like a 3. But we know the Astros always have a way of maximizing pitchers' ability. So could potentially bump to a 2.
I was going to say, with that in mind, so Hunter Brown is obviously their ace. Who would we say, because I've lost track of who's healthy and who's actually going to be available, who would we say is their number 2? Sans Framber Valdez, obviously, is not around anymore.
Christian Javier
is the 2.
And then I think Imai would slot in as the 3, but maybe a guy who could actually outproduce Javier. We don't know exactly what we're going to get from Javier. Hopefully, we get more of vintage Javier now that he's a second year away from Tommy John surgery. Last year, for the Cebu Lions, Tatsuya Imai, 10-5, 192 ERA, 178 Ks and 163 and two-thirds, 0.89 whip. Just absolutely dominant pitcher. He'll be coming here for his age 28 season. Want to give a shout-out to Colin Neal, who'll be coming in here at 12 for the tip-off. Also, from Jesse Rogers, Ime's deal with the Astros is expected to be 3 years with opt-out, so short-term deal. Rogers says it'll be the largest AAV for a Japanese pitcher coming over outside of Yamamoto. So the Astros going short years, big dollars, potentially on a deal that'll have opt-outs for Ime, and an opportunity here where Dana Brown saw an opportunity, a window, that this was not going to be a long-term deal with a big long-term commitment. You know, anytime a deal like this is getting done, anytime we're talking about potentially going over the tax line, Jim Crane is heavily involved. So Jim Crane, Dana Brown, in alignment here. They go and they get arguably the best pitcher, starting pitcher on the market, not named Framber Valdez.
Right. And much cheaper, obviously.
And younger.
Yeah.
Much shorter on the years, at the very least. This is finding an opportunity and nailing it.
Yeah, more bang for the buck. I'm also seeing here that his 27% strikeout rate since the start of 2024 is the best in that league as well. So mid-90s is where he sits at. They say he's got a real promising slider. I'm interested to see what do the Astros do, especially with their, you know, their changes to their staff. What is that going to look like? And I imagine they'll still have that kind of that pitcher's magic pixie dust that they're able to sprinkle on pitchers whenever they get here. But I'll be interested to see how he evolves as a pitcher with the Astros' influence and then what that impact is ultimately on the squad. I feel like this is the lowest expectation season that we've had since this Astros run, right? Oh, it's the first time they didn't go to the playoffs since 2016. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a kind of a prove it year for the team. And then, you know, this will be somebody that will be introduced to both in Houston and the Major League Baseball public at large.
I can't explain. Like, this is a big deal for the Astros to make this move. This guy's got like legit major league velocity. He's not one of these Japanese pitchers to come here throwing 91, 92. Like, this guy's got legit big league stuff. And as we saw, I mean, look, think about what the Astros did with Gerrit Cole. They took a guy who had terrific stuff,
yep,
but inconsistent success, and turned him into Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
They took a guy in Charlie Morton, whose entire career had been one injury after the next, and turned him into a World Series hero.
How about Yusei Kikuchi 2 years ago, who was... He had been an all-star, but was kind of meh that season until he got here and then was pitching like an all-star again.
Another example, guy with big-time stuff, inconsistent results, and the Astros got him a 3-4-year deal in free agency?
With the Angels, yeah.
So I'm really excited about Imai, and you know what? Now you feel a lot more confident in this starting rotation. And now there's a lot of depth. There's going to be some competition in the back end. I expect they're going to stay with a six-man rotation. I mean, outside of early in the season when you got an off day every week. But you're probably going to see the Astros have a six-man rotation for a lot of the year. But your front three in Hunter, Javier, and Imai are really good.
So can I – this isn't even devil's advocate, because we can agree just objectively this is good. This is a good thing to happen for the Astros. But the negative side for me, or the part that I'm not as optimistic about, PC, we know this. Even despite all of the injury issues that they had last year, pitching wasn't it wasn't ass last year. It wasn't awful.
Like no, they just ran out of guys.
They just ran out of guys. And so, but my point being, they pitched pretty well last year. I suspect that they'll continue to do so. My New Year's resolution yesterday when I was on here with Reginald was that what I'd like to see the Astros do, and this is not something that this pitcher is going to be able to help them do because he pitches, he doesn't hit, is to take more pitches, better plate appearances, better at bat, more quality at bats the way that they used to do. The Astros that we all fell in love with over the past decade or so is not the Astros that they had been over the last 2 years, I would say. They kind of lost their way in that regard. And so I'm glad about this, that they're going to be able to stay true to form with their pitching performance, or at least it looks that way. But if they don't have better showings at the plate, more discernment at the plate, better at bats, then I feel like it's going to be more. Of course, you know, you want that injury situation to be a lot better, and you figure it should be. But if they don't have better at bats, I'm not sure how far they're going to be able to go.
Well, I'll tell you what. Want my New Year's wish?
Yeah.
My New Year's wish is that the Astros are able to trade Isak Paredes and bring in another frontline, at least mid-rotation, but under with a lot of team control pitcher. They're able to trade Christian Walker and not pay more than $10 million per year of that contract and bring Alex Bregman home to play first base.
Oh.
That's my New Year's wish. Bring Breggy home. And I know there's a little bit of putting the band back together with Bregman and Correa, you know, adding them to, you know, Altuve and Yordan. But as long as Altuve is on the team, the Astros are going to try to win. So you're winning now. You're not winning in 4 years. You're trying to win now. You're not dealing from your minor leagues. You're not that you have a whole lot to deal with. But if you're able to trade Walker, I hear the Mets need a first baseman. If you're able to trade Christian Walker and not pay more than half his salary, so you save $10 million a year. If you're able to trade Isak Paredes and get a young pitcher back, because if you're looking at potentially trading him to Boston, they have young pitching. If you're looking at potentially trading him to the Mets, they have young pitching. And then you bring in Bregman. I know it'll cost a lot of money for Bregman, but let me tell you, F that tax. Nobody here cares about paying more for tickets if we're winning. And much as you said about, you know, for 2 years, they have wanted to get back to being more selective at the plate, drawing more walks, getting on base. Well, Alex Bregman was the king of that.
Yes, he was.
And
remained so while he was in Boston.
Carlos Correa, excellent at that. Yordan Alvarez, excellent at that. Now you've got some guys that really can help you in that department as you change your offensive philosophy. And your infield defense outside of Altuve at second base is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm with everything that you said except, and this is along the same train of thought, everything except the Isak Paredes deal. Because he also has a lot of that. Like, lest we forget, because he was injured for such a long stretch. But he's the one guy out of the ones that you mentioned that I wouldn't mind keeping, even if it was to sacrifice more pitching, because I trust them to figure things out more so with what they have now, especially with this deal that we announced ahead of the, you know, at the top of the hour here. I trust them a lot more with what they already have pitching-wise and to keep Isak Paredes, and even he be an option, another option on that infield, right? There's somebody that can play third and has played second in the past.
He can't play second base anymore. He can't. And he's coming off a torn hamstring. He's got extremely little experience at second base. And you can't learn a position if you can't move laterally. It, you know, coming off of that injury, I don't know how willing I'd be to have him trying to play second. Can he play first? He could play first. He's not going to be a plus defender. He's a minus defender at third. Now, he's not a bad defender. He's just below average. He's not a good defender. Bad is you're just awful. You're like minus 10 defensive run saved. You let balls get through the wickets all the time. He's not a bad defender. He's just not a plus defender. And he won't be that at first base either. Bregman would be a Gold Glove level defender.
Well, yeah, there's no argument.
And the other side to that for me is if you trade Paredes and you go get the young starting pitcher, you now have a little bit of a surplus with young starting pitchers in A.J. Bluebaugh, in Spencer Arrighetti. Can I package one of those guys and go get a thumper in the outfield? Because I got a lot of youth in my outfield. Whether I have Jake Myers or not, I got a lot of youth in my outfield defensively, and Myers doesn't have any thump. Can I go get a thumper that plays the outfield? And now I've improved my pitching, I've improved my defense, I've improved my power. It's three steps, but look, we knew it was going to be a creative situation for the Astros, so let's get creative, Dana.
Get the band back.
Already got Ime. New year. It's already a good new year. It's already a good new year.
It's a good new year.
Man.
Let's go.
So we actually did not get to any of the things in hot leads that we intended to.
That was the hot lead, damn it.
Because, well, the hottest lead is Tatsuya Ime is coming to the Houston Astros. And once we get more info on that, just got a text here from my guy, Scott Barzilla, who's our analytics expert at the Crawfish Boxes. He said, it looks like it's 3 years, $63 million with an opt-out after each season.
That sounds like an Astros special.
That is 1,000,000% an Astros special, man. Love that. Love that. So coming up next, we'll actually do the real rest of the hot leads next.
These are the new leads.
Now, look, I need the leads.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads.
He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
All right, this time we're going to get to the actual other hot leads. As the Astros landing Tatsuya Ime, a 3-year deal, $63 million potential value, opt-outs after each year. The biggest news, probably going to be the biggest news of the day. Now, let's get to the regular hot leads, shall we? Is Q-Rod laying the groundwork for his exit.
I love that you call him Q-Rod.
This is a win-or-go-home game for them against the Baltimore Ravens. And Aaron Rodgers said he has not thought about returning to Pittsburgh next year after his one-year deal expires. He said, I'm thinking about this week. Obviously, I'm 42 years old. I'm on a one-year deal. So you know what the situation is. Whenever the season ends, I'll be a free agent. That'll give me a lot of options if I still want to play. I mean, not a lot of options, but there'll be options, I would think. Maybe one or two if I decide I still want to play. Hey, there'll be an option in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, and they like old quarterbacks.
They do. They like old quarterbacks. Like, hey, they get Aaron Rodgers.
They've got an old quarterback kind of like kink.
They could get Kirk Cousins. His deal is up.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, there's a few old quarterbacks they could go out and get. But Aaron Rodgers.
A known liar, too, by the way. I haven't thought about next year. Just a known liar. So we know that that's not true.
Colossally full of bleep.
He hasn't thought about it, but somehow also knows that he'll have, well, maybe not a lot of options, but one or two.
Yeah.
How do you figure that if you haven't thought about it?
He proved how much full of bleep he could be doing his two-hour stints on McAfee every week for a couple of years there. But, Q-Rod, could he be laying the groundwork for leaving? Like I said, I want him to win this week. I want him to play the Texans, and I want the Texans to plant him 8 feet under. Not 6 feet, 8 feet under.
I don't know what about his most recent play and the most recent results that he's had at his most recent stops would indicate to him that he should keep doing this. Like, he doesn't want for money. Just to be fair to him, he doesn't have anything to prove. He can moonwalk into the Hall of Fame if he wants to when it comes time. So it's not like there's any legacy fighting. I don't suspect that he's got money problems. Go home, my guy. It's over with. It's over with. Now, unless it's really just that love and passion for the game, which I don't think any of us have ever really confused him to be one of those type of guys, and we could just be wrong about it. But I just don't understand why he would want to continue to do this or what there is left to really do. I mean, outside of the disappointment of somebody that good only winning one Super Bowl, and it maybe even sounds crazy to say only one Super Bowl, but somebody with that kind of talent, you probably expect to at least make it more times and probably win it at least another time. That hasn't happened, but there's nothing about his stops at either the Jets or this one with Pittsburgh that should lead him to believe that he is going to be any kind of engine to a Super Bowl run. The only way he would get there is if he were able to ride the coattails of a 49ers type of squad that could win with any quarterback, but that's not happening. They've got their quarterback. Like, it's just, I don't see the opportunity that meets the whole risk or like just the whole idea of doing it, you know, or being worth the opportunity.
Rodgers has thrown for 3,028 yards this year in 15 games. He is 6,000 yards behind Brett Favre. As you know, Favre and Rodgers, mortal enemies. You know he wants nothing more than to pass Brett Favre on every possible all-time list that he can. That would mean he'd need to play two more years to pass Brett Favre.
That's it. It is insane. I don't care how much you love or hate Brett Favre. The idea that I'm going to make any decision in life based off of Brett damn Favre, Brett stealing from the poor Brett Favre, hell nah. Like, as much as I don't like Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre makes him look like a damn Mother Teresa as far as I'm concerned. To hell with Brett Favre. Like, just that idea, to me, that would be the dumbest reason to continue to play. To chase Brett Favre, who, by the way, I think most reasonable minds already believe he's better than. He's better than Brett Favre.
But, you period. Know, rule number 32, there's no petty like sports petty.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, number two, the injury-riddled Packers, they grab a forsaken cowboy as Green Bay claims former Cowboys cornerback Trayvon Diggs off of waivers. The Packers are beat up in the secondary. They lost two corners last week. Nate Hobbs suffered a knee injury that could be a season ender. Kamal Haddon sustained a season-ending ankle injury. He's already on IR. So the Pack go and they claim Trayvon Diggs off waivers. They were the only team to submit a waiver claim on Diggs. Now, because they claimed him, they are technically on the hook for the rest of his five-year, $97 million deal that he signed in 2023. But there is no more guaranteed money on the deal, so they can cut him at the end of the year with zero consequence.
Yeah, you got to figure that there is a possibility that they want to restructure or do a new deal, possibly. This was the most predictable outcome based on the history that you just laid out there, their recent injuries to their secondary. But also, you know, Micah Parsons is there. Diggs and Parsons are real buddy-buddy from their Dallas days. And Diggs was one of the more vocal and notably hurt Cowboys by what the Cowboys decided to do in trading Micah Parsons. So a Diggs-Parsons reunion after the Cowboys eventually soured on both of them is not surprising at all that that would happen in Green Bay, considering that Parsons is already there.
All right, number three. How interested would you be in Michael Chandler versus Conor McGregor on the White House lawn? Here is Michael Chandler dropping a really big hint.
So, Michael, tell me what you got coming up in the New Year's. And I think I know what you got coming up in the New Year's.
I will say it's going to be a big year. Number one, like you said, the UFC is now on Paramount Plus the entire year for the next multitude of years. And also, there's a rumor going around. We can't confirm nor deny, but it does sound like I might be handing Conor McGregor a good old-fashioned passionate red, white, and blue butt-whooping on the South Lawn of the White House sometime this summer. And that's the plan. Let's go.
I'm interested in a fight on the lawn at the White House. You know, it adds a little intrigue, a little edge to it. Why not? It's a novelty to that. That's not a thing. I can't remember fights on the White House lawn.
Yeah, that's definitely not a thing that's ever happened in America.
Yeah, so like I don't have any reference point for that. So yeah, you could intrigue me with that. Yeah, sure. I don't think I've seen Conor fight since who was he fighting when he broke his leg in the middle of the fight? That was...
Oh, was that Gaethje? Dustin Poirier.
Yes, that was it. So I don't think I've seen him fight since then.
Well, he's gotten his ass whooped since then.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just haven't been paying attention. So this would be something that would bring me back.
And the last fight he won was in the remake of Roadhouse. Assuming we're not talking about sucker-punching 90-year-old men in bars. But I would not mind seeing Conor McGregor get his ass whooped. Red, white, and blue style on the White House lawn and what is tentatively being planned for, I believe, President Trump's birthday, June 14th.
Oh, see that? Not to get too political here, but I didn't know it was going to be a birthday gift for old Prez. I guess.
And look, to me, I don't care. You like Donald Trump. You don't like Donald Trump. Don't care. This is about... We're getting UFC on the White House lawn. This is going to be spectacle. And I'm here for it. Plus, it involves Conor McGregor potentially getting his ass whooped. So, two spectacles. Last one. Kevin Sumlin is back in Houston. Kevin Sumlin has been named the new head coach of the newly renamed Houston Gamblers. So, the Houston Roughnecks... have been renamed the Gamblers. House was cleaned after last season. And Kevin Sumlin is the new head coach. And he will join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610.
It sounds exciting. I looked at now my Roughnecks gear. I got to find my Houston Roughnecks hoodie. It's somewhere at home. I think I bought it around the same time I bought the jacket that I've got on now. It's going to be like a relic of sorts.
Yeah, all Roughnecks gear, probably like 85% off. Get it now.
Yeah. Yeah, damn. I've definitely paid full price for mine. But I digress.
By the way, shout out to Colin Neal, who will be taking over producing duties from Mitchell Millimacki at high noon. Bringing in the pizza. Stops at Pink's Pizza, brings us the pizzas for myself, for B. Scott, for Mitch. Awesome job by him. So not only helping us out with the news on Tatsuya Imai and the Astros, but bringing in the pizza as well. Awesome job.
Made my day.
By him.
Made my, especially that it was Pink's. I don't think I requested anything, but when I saw it was Pink's, I don't know if y'all saw, my eyes lit up.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
It up. Thought he was just gonna come in here with, you know, any old like regular Domino's, Pizza Hut. He went to Pink's. Let's go. Shout out to Colin.
All right, coming up next, Nick Saban knew something most all of us did not. PC and B. Scott in for In the Loop.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
So, cards face up. I did not know that we were doing a What's Poppin' segment.
And I'm not even sure that we are. That's just the intro music for the normal time slot.
That's
of the
what
show.
Normally goes on here is What's that, Poppin'?
That's what normally goes on here. But as you know,
that's a Reggie thing.
It's a In the Loop thing. I think it's a thing that In the Loop implemented once Reggie became a part of the show. But as you know, we're doing some version of Area 45 B Block podcast.
Sticking to what we know.
Slash In the Loop. It's an
amalgamation.
There we go. It's an amalgamation of it all. So just enjoy the Jack Harlow What's Poppin' instrumental in the background as we proceed to do whatever it is that we were going to do anyway.
Nice job by B Scott knowing this song because
yes.
I don't.
There you go. That's what I'm here for you, PC.
B. Scott is here to make sure that I am up to date on all things current pop culture and internet street talk, all things that I normally would fail at miserably.
Yes, the instrumental we're hearing is to a song called What's Pop.
And I appreciate you, Big Dog. I appreciate you. Things that apparently were popping, this happened right before Ohio State played Michigan, so we're going back.
Yeah.
Nick Saban May have known something that the rest of the college football world maybe did not know quite as well.
I think if Miami finds their way into the playoffs, they will be the most one of the most dangerous teams in the playoffs. Forget about the ACC. I mean, with Carson Beck, the offensive line they have, the skill guys they have, the defense they have, I don't want to say they underachieved by losing two games, but if they get in this playoff, they're going to be the most dangerous team that anybody has to play because of the talent level they have.
And sure enough,
God knows ball.
What has happened is the 10th ranked Miami Hurricanes in the Cotton Bowl. Well, they slapped the number two Ohio State Buckeyes around probably way more than Stephon Diggs allegedly did to this chef cook person. Absolute physical domination.
Beat him like a drum.
And how does the game end? Well, it ends on another defensive play by the Canes and that turnover chain getting used up.
A path that's going to see those top seeds go 0-5.
Bain coming. Sin gets the pass away.
It was actually picked off by Jacoby Brown, but courtesy ESPN Radio. It was actually picked off by Jacoby Brown, but that is how the game ended, was Jacoby Brown with the pick, slamming the door and officially dethroning the reigning champions 24-14. Now, let me ask you, after you saw Miami in their last game against A&M, where they basically won a game that neither team could score, did you have any faith whatsoever that Miami was going to beat Ohio State?
No, I did not. I thought that it could be competitive. I was expecting it to be a competitive game. It turned out to be not so competitive, but in Miami's favor. I know that Ohio State ended up making it competitive there. But to start the game, like, they get that first touchdown. And it's like they go out there with like seven offensive linemen, make it seem like they're about to run the ball, and of course fake it and throw the ball. And like, it's just, it was an example of how dominant I was. What I was surprised by was how dominant they were up front. And this is not something that I feel like normally happens to Ohio State. I know they lost to Indiana, and Indiana's really good up front, but they normally don't get dominated in the trenches the way that they did to Miami. I did not think that that could happen. I thought they could win the game. I did not think they would dominate the Buckeyes up front the way that they did in this game. And that part of it is surprising and is something that seems like it could be a winning formula going forward through the rest of this tournament.
You know, I wasn't trying to besmirch specifically the defense of the Miami Hurricanes, but you held A&M to 3 points. But they're A&M. And A&M has a history, really since the start of the Jimbo era, of sometimes the offense just doesn't show up. They play defense.
Since the Jimbo era.
But sometimes the offense doesn't show up.
Since the Jim Crow era, it's been that bad. I mean, they have always been a disappointment.
Different Jim.
That's where I thought you were going, actually. Funny enough. But no, I mean, it is their defense is very good. Their defense was very good against A&M. Was good in this game, and now they do feel like that team, to Nick Saban's point, that nobody wants the team that barely got in, but now once they're in, that nobody wants to play. They absolutely feel like a team like that. Now, the game that's on right now, Oregon, Texas Tech, to me does still feel like I would favor them in a game, right? But it's hard to look at what Miami's doing and at least what they're doing in the trenches and not be convinced by it.
Interesting numbers as a result of this game, as Oregon just gets an interception, and they're going to have really good field position here. Texas Tech, off to a very inauspicious start. Not a happy new year for Tech fans right now, unless they're Astros fans.
Right.
In the five quarterfinal games in the CFP 12-team format era, as of today, teams coming off of a bye week are 0-5. Miami this season is 6-0 against ranked opponents. And Ohio State, all time, 0-3 on New Year's Eve.
Ooh, that's not good. Not favorable history for them.
Let me ask you a little something. And Mitch, I know you're a big college football guy, so let me bring you in on this here, okay? Coming into last year, there was a lot of talk about Ryan Day being on the hot seat because they always lost to Michigan. And then Michigan won the national title. Last year, Ryan Day wins the national title. This year, they suffer an indignant loss to Indiana. And now they're out in their very first playoff game against Miami. Is Ryan Day right back on the hot seat?
Yeah, I think a lot of people still say he's a fraud. A lot of Michigan fans are like, re-sign him. Give him that extension.
Yeah.
Because they really think he's a fraud. I mean, he's not really getting it done in the big games. I mean, the Ohio State roster right now is more talented than it was last year. And if I remember correctly, Ryan Day, for whatever reason, because their OC got the Ohio State's OC got the job at USF.
Yeah.
Ryan Day was Brian calling Hartline. Plays last night.
Yeah.
Ryan Day was calling plays, and that performance happened. Yeah, no. I mean, Ryan Day, yeah, he's still on fraud watch. Absolutely. I mean, this might solidify it. He might just be a fraud. I mean, consistently year in and out, you have the best roster, at least talent wise, and what more do you have to say from it except for last year?
Well, for the longest time, he couldn't beat Michigan. And then now he has. But like that was the thing. That was the running joke. And then to Mitchell's point just now, he's the one that's calling the plays last night. And it looked like somebody that shouldn't have been calling plays.
If there's a guy who should have a college football podcast, it's Mitchell. You just hear like the jubilant, like juvenile excitement in his voice. We're talking about college football, and he's just like, yes! He's all excited. Well, like, that dude should be doing a podcast.
It does make sense, though, for, like, especially a sports fan that's closest to college, like, more closely removed from college to be more passionate about it. So, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Colin Neal is another one who brought us the pizza. Another example. Now,
yeah, but his is going to be all on Sam Houston State.
Well, but I was going to say, if you could do, like, a mid-major, if you were to do a
FCS
or outside the power, the group of however many it is these days.
P4.
Outside of the P4s now.
Are we now a G7? Like how many G's are there now?
I'm done with it.
God knows how many.
How many G's? All right, here is something that local fans might be pretty excited about. Maybe this took longer than it should have been expected. And maybe it took longer than most local fans expected. But it sure looks like Arch Manning has arrived.
Quarter, Texas with possession and the lead. Arch Manning keeps it himself, and he's got nothing but chattel, real estate. He popped the clutch. Happy New Year, Longhorns! Touchdown!
Courtesy ESPN Radio, Arch Manning, with what I believe was his second rushing touchdown of the day, to put the game out of reach, 38-27 at that point, as UT kicks the aforementioned Michigan Wolverines 41-27 in the Citrus Bowl. They put 17 points on the board in the fourth quarter. Arch Manning, 21-34, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns in the air, 9 carries, 155 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground, including a 60-yard run. Arch Manning alone outgained the entire Michigan team. Was this the moment where Arch Manning, Heisman Trophy finalist, arrived?
Yeah, I thought there were moments during the season where, I don't know about Heisman Trophy finalists, but the hype around Arch Manning started to seem a little bit closer to being justified. After he stops the struggles against some of those mid-majors we're talking about, the Sam Houston States and El Paso's and UTEP's of the world, he started to kind of find a groove, get into a rhythm. So I've been a little bit, I'd say, softer on Arch throughout the season.
after the beginning of it, right? But this was the best example of it. This was it on full display, getting it done through the air, getting it done with his legs, the like optimal dual threat quarterback. He looked a lot closer to as much close to advertised in this game as he ever has all season.
He, according to the Inter and the Webs, Arch Manning hit a sprint speed yesterday that was the highest clocked sprint speed for any quarterback in FBS this season.
Yeah.
Not ass.
No, no. When I was speaking of fast, when we were at the Super Bowl last year, I talked to Xavier Worthy, who was a teammate of Arch Manning's, of course, now with the Kansas City Chiefs. At the time in the Super Bowl, going up against the Eagles, he said he was fully expecting Arch to win the Heisman, and that was like all the talk, all the hype. It wasn't just external, it was internal, right? Internal pressure as well. And we didn't quite see it. I've been thinking about that ever since. Like, man, Xavier Worthy told me that this dude was legit. And we're finally starting to see it. So we'll see what 2026 actually looks like for the Longhorns. As a Longhorn fan, I won't be holding my breath. I won't be holding my breath.
That's the PTSD thing again.
Yeah. It's like something's always going to go wrong. Something's always going to go south. Won't be holding my breath. But way better than he was to start the season.
Do you feel like this victory will get the Longhorns into the top 10 to finish the season? They entered the game 13th.
No, I don't.
They sit at 11?
Yeah, they'll sit right on the outside looking in, probably where they belong.
But Longhorns salvage their season. Hey, 10-3. You would think 10-3 is not a bad season. Although Longhorn fans sometimes might disagree. 10-3 is a pretty damn good season.
Yeah. Not when you start the year off ranked number one and then you start lose to Florida, a school that fired its coach. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, a team that literally chooses not to score. I mean, every year Florida can't score. It's almost like they've decided since the days of Urban Meyer, okay, we are just not going to score anymore and see what we can do.
Urban's gone. He's taking the scoring with him. Take all the points with you, Urban. Crazy.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk some Rockets hoops with our guy LaShard Binkley. Covers the Rockets for Sports Illustrated. You see him every week on Fox 26 with my guy Nate Griffin. He also hosts the Rocket Fuel Pod. He will join us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.